Congratulations to DoghouseSystems.com for reaching 10 years as a company. That is so cool, and we've been there with them the entire time. If you'd like to save money on your next big rig, gaming good times over at DoghouseSystems.com, use the code FROGPANTS at checkout. Happy birthday, Doghouse. Coming up on TMS, we have literally one winner.
The Bully Stick.
Has anyone seen my lake lizard?
86-second bowling.
I realize how euphemistic lake lizard sounds.
Lake lizard. Hey, everybody.
Has seen it before. 13 bears and running is a great combo. Beers. I meant beers, not bears. Beers.
I like bears. I think you'd run faster. I was worried about zombies, officer.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The Duracell batteries we make now live longer than the ones from a few years back. Today's Duracell lasts up to 30% longer.
Oh, dudes.
I don't care! This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for April 27th. It is 10:08 in the morning, and I'm Scott Johns with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. We are the mouthpieces to the mundane.
Yeah, we are. Didn't we just do this?
Like to the mundane.
It wasn't even like full 12 hours ago we did this. Or no, it would have been, what was it, 4:30?
It was a little more than 12 hours. About 18 hours ago we did this.
Yeah, kind of a weird day yesterday, but it all worked out. We got a show out there, and I just feel bad. People at home are like, I got it so late, I'm not even caught up yet. Now there's a new one.
Right, and we have to do the same thing again because of the aforementioned, I guess we talked about this pre-show, so podcast listeners won't know about it, but
yeah.
Tom's going to the doctor tomorrow, so...
Today,
so you guys are doing DTNS for him, which means it could affect TMSPM.
Yeah, may bump it, we don't know yet. I just keep track of Twitter and all that, and I'll let you guys know what's going on, but I have committed to wear his shoes the best I can. I'm on with Jury, so that'll be interesting. Me and Justin Robert Young.
Nice.
You know him from such things as... Whoop, that didn't work. You know him from such things as...
We're going to crypto coin, goddammit!
There he is. You heard that right there. anyway, so that's coming up later today, and we'll keep you guys abreast of what's happening. As promised yesterday, we are on stage to pull the envelope and tell you the winner of the most participated in film festival we've ever held. Clearly, thousands have participated. Only one could win.
We had to pour through so many videos to come up with a winner this time.
Yeah. Oh, Wayne, it says here, sorry, it says on the notes so many, but I believe I need to correct that. One. We got one entry.
Yeah, so the idea of the best and worst gifts TMS Film Fest the subject, maybe a little too difficult.
A little complicated. <For some people. laughs> Yeah, we got one entry, literally.
It's a little, maybe just a little bit too complicated. So, congratulations. Are we ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it. Do I have I got a theme. Hold on. Actually, you know what? This week's theme is this.
I can definitely see why you like it.
There you go.
It's very appropriate. Because the only person who actually sent in a responsive video for this one was Larry Owen, who did win back in December. No, January.
January.
Won back in January for the... No, it was December for the I Can See Why You Like It.
Oh, okay. Couldn't remember how long ago that was.
Yep. And so congratulations to Larry. He gets another prize package. I guess... Whatever. We said we never really put a time limit on this one, so
yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. You've won twice. And again, no other competition is usually a good way of winning things.
Right,
so we're going to simplify this following month, this next month. We're going to literally give you a word.
Uh-huh.
Are we still good with the word?
That's worked really well in the past. We did like monster, and that was really good. Mm-hmm. We did time machine, which was really good.
Yep.
If life were like a video game, maybe that was a little bit more complicated, but it still worked.
Still worked. You still like this word we're using, or is that one too easy?
No, I think this word that we're using is perfect.
All right. Well, the word is literally easy.
Yes. Easy.
Easy.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Base it around the word easy.
Yeah. we think that'll maximize entries. Make you give you not only the easy new method, but also the word easy itself should make things very well easy for people.
Exactly. So I mean, come on, you know, it's easy to enter, it's easy to make a video, and it's easy to win.
Yeah, and I can think of all kinds of stuff. You could do a little easy E thing. You could do a little the Big Easy references.
Right, you could have an easy button and show how something is difficult, and you make it easy by hitting the Staples easy button or something. Who knows? Anything.
Yeah, Gary Fisher from Lantronics, you might know him. He could dress up in a slinky dress with crotchless underwear, and he could call that easy. Whatever he wants to do. I'm just trying
Gary
to think
is easy.
Yeah, Gary's easy. Sorry, Gary. Anyway, so by the end of the month, we'll award a new winner, and we want more than one, please. That'd be great.
Please, yes.
I mean,
I think we'll get more than one. I think, like I said, oh my God, we should show all the winners for the year at Nerdtacular, like between panels or something. Have a loop of those running.
We could totally do that. You know what? I'm going to make a note about that.
Yeah, that's Sean the Sean, man. Came up with that idea. So well done.
Winners at N17. Okay, it's in my notes. I will remember to look at that.
Very good.
Anyway.
So it's, Monday is the 1st of May. 1st of May, outdoor. That's also easy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy. It's so easy. Even you can do it. What is the day?
29th, Monday the 29th is the last day to get them in. So you've got four full freaking weeks.
Yeah. What's weird is that will mark 1 month until Nerdtacular that day.
Oh, my God.
I know. I don't want to think about it. There's too much to do still. I have so much to do. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got to stop. But there's a few things I've been procrastinating, and I've got to stop doing that. So anyway.
Yeah. I got it. You and me both, man. I've got... I don't know. I've got an entire Frog Pants, three entire Frog Pants All-Star games to write questions for.
Yeah, it's going to be a beast. So anyway, we'll get to it. Don't worry, everybody. Everything will be fine. All right. So I got a little quandary here for the show to talk about.
Oh, tell me your quandary.
All right. So there's this kid. I may have mentioned him before on the show. I'm very fond of him. His name is Cameron. He is in his first year of junior high, and he's a neighbor kid. We know his parents and everything. And he is, like me and a lot of my friends, a huge nerd. Mm-hmm. He loves Pokemon. He loves anime. He loves really nerdy stuff. We've had him over to play video games before. He's just a cool kid. Really smart, but huge nerd, right? In all the great ways that I really like about him is that he's a nerd like me.
He's our people.
He is our people. And I found out through the grapevine, another kid who I also know, I don't know him as well as Cameron, but I know him, is giving him grief at school. I don't know to what extent, like how much bullying there is, like how deep that goes, but I know that it's causing some issues for this kid who I care a lot about. And I need to figure out what to do, because here's the deal. Parent stuff can be sticky. Man, if you go to another parent and go, hey, your kid's a bully, you need to tell him to, whatever. Parents tend to get kind of defensive.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone came to me and said, hey, Nick's picking on somebody, I would go rip Nick a new one. Like, I would be all over that. But I know not
but
every
you're
parent's
not most
doing
parents. Like, some parents are like, good, maybe teach your kids some give them some gumption.
Yeah. Teach them to man up a little bit or whatever the thinking is. But I can see in this kid's face that it's a struggle. I mean, I remember junior high. It is a battle zone in there.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. This may not be true in high school where there's even fan clubs for things like anime clubs or if you're really into Pokemon, you can find, like-minded people or whatever. In junior high, it's different. You go in there and the judgment's thicker. People have not gotten over any of their hang-ups yet. They're still trying to pound their chest and pretend like they're king of the hill. And you saying something like, well, I'm really into anime is like saying, hey, all the football kids come pick on me.
Right, exactly. A big shirt. Basically, it's the piece of paper pinned to the back of your shirt that says kick me.
Yeah. So I'm really curious what the audience would say about, should I confront the other kids' parents? Part of me wants to show up at school and scare the shit out of this other kid.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I know you can't, but I want
it. Been there. Yeah. Tristan had to deal with a kid who was pushing him at the bus stop.
Yeah.
And shoot, Tina remembers what we... I'm trying to remember. I think we just had told Tristan, push him back.
Yeah.
And Tristan pushed him back and he landed in the snow.
Nice. Nice.
And he never bothered him again. It was great. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean,
you know what I mean, though? Like, there's this feeling of like, I want justice for this kid, and I'm not going to hurt anybody. I just want to kind of go up there and go, and make a face and look 6'4".
I think what you do is you just talk to the kid who's getting bullied. Talk to this kid who's coming over your house and say, hey, I'm understanding, you understand you're getting bullied, and, you know, help teach him how to handle it and respond to it, water off a duck's back, because I think in the end he'll actually be stronger for it than if you got somebody else involved to
you're not wrong that that's the right, I mean, it's what I'm doing. The hard part is that he's, I don't know, there's a lot of circumstances surrounding his daily life that make all of this harder, and so this is just one more thing for him, and he has to face it in a way that's like, you know, every day must be just torture. It's like, oh, I gotta get up, I gotta get on the bus, I gotta go to the school, I gotta deal with this kid. Like, he must just dread it. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because there are other circumstances around his life that are also very difficult right now. So I don't know. I just wanna in a perfect world, I could show up 6'4", you know, guy in his 40s, I could wear a hoodie and look pissed. And scare that other kid right out of his freaking baseball uniform, you know?
Oh, my God. And we had the same thing with Tristan where I wanted to do the same thing. And I'm sure, you know, was there a point at which Nick was getting picked on at school?
No, he never really had to deal with this for whatever reason. I don't know why. He seems like he's a nerd, too, but he's like, he's so aloof. Like, Nick is really chill. He doesn't seem to be bothered by anything. And so I think if they did, they would just kind of give up before they even started, because it was just like, well, that kid doesn't care. He's just sitting over there. And they're not going to get the reaction they want out of him.
Right. With Tristan, he was getting picked on. I think there were a couple things. There was the kid at the bus stop. There was another kid at school who was picking on him. And I want to do exactly what you're talking about. I wanted to show up at school and say, hey,
kid,
knock it off.
Yeah, knock it off, or else there's going to be real trouble. See?
Exactly.
And the kid would just go, okay. But then you'd never hear the end of it, right? Like, this works in a vacuum. You'd be in huge trouble. His parents would be all up in your face. And,
exactly. And what would Tristan learn from that? I mean, you know,
there's a lot of stuff that doesn't... It only works in movies. And I fully realize this, but the desire's still there. It's kind of like, I have this thing where once in a while, and this is the weirdest temptation I think I've ever had. I would sometimes drive past a local gas station, and a lot of like teenage kids are hanging out with their skateboards, just loitering, laying on the ground, smoking. What's that stuff you used to smoke? Cloves. Smoking cloves.
Oh, jeez.
And they still do because they can't afford their own vape machines or whatever. Mm-hmm. And these are just long hair in their face looking little brat hole, butthole kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I drive by and I immediately am seized by this desire to go scare the shit out of them. I just want to go up there and just freak them out and have them be all blah, and then, you know, like, just shock them out of their sense of they've got it all going on. You know what I mean? It's really weird. I don't know why I feel like doing that. It's not like I want to fight. I don't want to fight, but I just want, I want their perspective to change, and I want it to happen sooner. And
you
I
want
realize,
a fast solution.
Yes. And I realized when I was a kid, you know, I was them. I didn't. Adults were lame and get out of here, and we're cool kids, and we're doing what we're doing, and, you know, whatever. And so I realize it's complete hypocrisy from a different generation, but it's so weird to me that I feel that way. Like, I remember when we were kids. This is a long time ago. Probably about his age, about Cameron's age. We were out in a field in front of a church throwing snowballs at cars. And we were all, like, I don't know, like 10 of us throwing snowballs at cars. Yeah. And we were beating these cars as they went by. And one of them, finally, after just hucking a ball and hitting it right in the back of the window or whatever, went,
yep. Oh, yeah.
Backed up, and we all went, shite, and ran as fast as we could.
scatter.
We ran, all of, I think almost all of us, if not all of us, I think maybe 8 of the 10 of us busted into this church, not busted, and the doors were open, went into this church. It's pitch black, and there was a baptismal font in there where people get baptized, but there's no water in it. It's like an empty, almost like an empty hot tub looking thing.
Right.
3 of us went and hid in that. In the pitch dark, by the way. There's nothing else you can't see. Other people are in, like, girls' bathrooms. Everybody's hiding in different places. They're all, I think we're all in some Boy Scout thing, and that's why we were there for Boy Scout night or something. And so we're all hiding all over this church, and we hear that door go, kaboom! And somebody comes in, and it's just echoing through this church. This guy going, you effing kids, you get your effing ass out here and let me deer by deer. And he's just freaking out and frothing and just so angry. And none of us, we were terrified.
Right, just like petrified.
Oh, I thought we were going to die. And these guys were like long-haired, like rocker dudes that were like, had, you know, I don't know, some like Thin Lizzy playing in the car or something like that. They were like just total rocker dude from that era looking guys. They were probably in their, I don't know, late teens or 20s, but to us, they seemed like adults. And they come in there, they stomp around, they're all mad, and they all freak out, and we're like, okay, well, whatever, I think they're gone now. Finally, it quiets down, and we think they're gone. So we go walking back out there kind of quietly and slowly, and we get to the door, and we see a shadow in front of the door, like, oh, no, those guys again! And then the door slowly opens, it's not them, it's one of our friends who got stuck out there, and he has got snow coming out of every orifice.
Oh, man. So he basically took one for the team.
He absolutely took one for the team. And he was kind of beat up. He had his eye was all red and had snow jammed in it. And oh, it was awful. But I think maybe part of this comes from that experience. Because it really kind of woke me up. I remember from then on going, I can't be throwing snowballs at cars. Why would we do that? That's bad to do it. Like I needed to see I needed to see the reaction to our action, and I did, and it kind of taught me a lesson. So now when I see just loitery, weaselly, spitting on the ground, weaselly little butthole seventh graders, I just want to pull my car up really fast, hit the brakes, make a big squeal sound, get out and go rah, just to give them a little, you know, give them a little something to think about, just right. A little something.
Well, you know, it was a learning experience for you. It shaped you into the person that you are now. So maybe there's something to that, but it's got to be, you got to pick your battle.
Yeah.
Use that power at the right time.
I also think 1984 was a different time. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no kidding. Right.
I feel like there, nobody had camera phones. Nobody had, you know, there was, yes, this stuff happened in a vacuum. Today, that stuff doesn't happen like that. I don't think. I think someone filmed it. Someone sees somebody. People are less likely to. Yeah, I don't know. It's just different. But anyway, the point is, I'm sure I'm going to get lots of advice about this, but poor kid. I just want to help him.
Yeah,
he's really cool. He's really smart.
Listen, it's going to make him a stronger person, and the kids who are bullying him are going to be, weak schlubs watching the hot dogs roll back and forth at the Quickie Mart.
That's right. Oh, don't say that. It sounds really good right now. I won't.
No, it doesn't.
You know how I feel about those.
People aren't supposed to eat those. Those are decorative.
Oh, I see. They're just to remind you that you're in a shitty gas station.
It's like you're supposed to see those and say, well, my life isn't so bad that I'm eating those.
All right. It's a good point. I want to wish a happy birthday to Doghouse Systems. I was reminded this morning that, and I'd forgotten that I was sort of there on the ground level at the time. Happy 10 years, a decade, of making rad gaming PCs where you can still use the code FROGPANTS, it turns out, to save money.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Doghouse Systems. Yeah, they're great. DoghouseSystems.com, John Pryor and his guys, big congrats to them. Well done, guys. 10 years is no small feat in the...
By the way, if we have any listeners who work in a convenience store, I meant no offense by that, and we love you and we appreciate your listenership and your support.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll eat your hot dogs. You already know that. Brian can say what he wants, but if I see one of those
those wrinkly things. Scott supports you and your hot dogs.
Yeah. Sometimes those hot dogs look like, you know, an old Jewish man in the gym, if you know what I'm saying.
Ooh.
And I'll still eat it. I'll still put it in a bun, squirt some ketchup on it and mustard and walk out of there and throw that down. I don't have a problem. I do have a problem, but it's good. I like it. Anyway, isn't that weird? Because I have like so many things I don't like.
Yeah, I know. It seems like that's...
It's weird.
it's weird. It's almost like you're inviting trouble. Like, you complain about having a White Castle.
Right.
And yet you actively want to seek out a gas station hot dog.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. Somebody out there's got some explanation. We eagerly await your emails explaining why. All right. It'd be good if I was ready to add Daryl. I forgot we're doing Daryl today. It's screwing me up.
Right, schedule. I know, the Tuesday and Thursday thing, yeah.
It's fine. Let's see. Daryl Skills. Okay.
I can do the read while you get that.
Oh, yeah,
together.
You know what? Let's do that. Today's Stump Daryl is going to be brought to you by who?
Have you been to myturfandgarden.com yet? We have loads of traditional fertilizers, organic solutions, soil boosters, and so much more. Small business customer service means you're more than a sale, and the success of your lawn or garden means as much to us as it does to you. Come say hi, like wave and everything, at myturfandgarden.com.
That sounds great. All right.
It does.
How about this? Hey, it's Stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by whom?
You just
did it. Sorry. Yeah. Habit. habit.
MyTurfGuard.com, damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. The habit is bad. The habit is strong with this one. Daryl Skeels on the line. Hi, Daryl.
Hello. Your bully story is getting to me.
Oh, it is getting to
because
you, is
I
it?
Was,
were you that kid?
I was super bullied.
Yeah, tell
yes,
us.
Yes, I was the bullied kid.
Yeah, tell us more. What was that like for you? Probably kind of rough. That stuff sucks for everybody. How'd it go?
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And so I grew up to be a parent that has no tolerance for that.
Yeah.
And the oldest once got bullied, so I showed up at the school.
Oh, man.
You did the thing that Scott's thinking about doing.
Yeah, well, yeah. When it's your own kid, I think you can
but
do it better.
I didn't threaten the kids or go to the kids or anything. I went to the school people and say, bullying is very serious. You guys must take care of this. And I was all shaking and turning into the Hulk and everything.
Wow. So this is funny you bring this up, because the kid kind of reminds me of you.
If you don't fix this bullying situation, I'm going to shove you in a locker.
I'm going to give you a Melvin you'll never forget. Or a Snuggie, sorry. Melvin is something. No one's ever heard Melvin except for me. Anyway, but Daryl, what was I going to say? I forgot. Oh. You remind me of this kid a little bit. Like, he's got sort of your mind. Like, you running around. Well, this is me too growing up, but running around with a tape recorder, being goofy, making your own commercials and that kind of stuff. This is totally this kid. And he shouldn't have to feel this way in 2017. I mean, I realize it's human nature. People get predatory about their sense of power. And if you're a kid who thinks he's got some influence and he's one of the cool kids, especially when they're young and immature, they like others to feel not powerful and subservient to them. And I understand the naturalness of that, but also the imperative to curb it and to control it and to get to a place where you're not doing it anymore. Like, it's an important part of growing up, but yeah. I just have no patience right now for it. I just want to go over there and smack the little dude. Just want to poke him
well,
in the eye.
Talk to the parents, because if they're good parents, though, they will be very grateful.
That's probably, yeah, that is good.
Herein lies the challenge. I'm not so sure that they're good parents.
I don't mean his parents. I mean the bully's parents. I'm not sure I want to talk to them yet. Anyway, we'll see.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go to the bully's parents. I'd just go to...
Oh, that I'm already doing that. Yeah, I'm already doing that. Yeah, they're on board and all that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing. Then.
Yeah, and it's obviously it's not even my kid, so I only have so much responsibility here, but I don't know, I just worry about him. Anyway, hey, here's the deal. We're going to do a trivia question for Daryl, and we're going to take a call, and we got one right now. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Barry Ricks.
Barry Ricks. Oh, my gosh. It feels like ages since we've heard your voice, man.
I know. It's been forever.
At least a couple years or something since I've heard your voice. How you doing? Doing good?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Are you still up in, where are you? Somewhere in Idaho or something.
So I was in Idaho, but now I'm in New Mexico.
Oh, all right.
Oh. You just leapfrogged both of us and went,
That's right.
That's cool.
But, you know, Still podcasting hard.
Oh, that's good. Podcasting hard is important. Also, making meth while you're in New Mexico, right? That's what happens.
That's right. I keep that on the down low.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't probably say it on a radio show that 30,000 people listen to today. Anyway,
that's
hey,
right.
Let's get to it. Barry's our contestant. Brian has the rules. How does it work, Brian?
Well, Barry, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment, and he's going to reply with Jill. No, he's not. He's going to give us a number. The answer will be wrong, but we'll then turn to you and say, Barry, is the correct answer higher or lower than Daryl's guess? If you are correct today, you win the prize package carried over from Tuesday, the South Park t-shirt and the Assassin's Creed coin, as well as a Last Dragon DVD and a fidget revolution.
Nice.
Barry.
Ooh.
There you go. Barry might win.
Barry.
Will win.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
Okay, great. You were almost a Jill sandwich. Let's
dive
in.
That's a whole different video game.
What are the what is our topic, Brian?
The topic today is the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, that's awesome.
Baseball team, not the Mountain Range.
Have they ever got a pennant before? Is that
they
ever?
Have.
Okay, they have. Have they ever won the World Series?
Isn't that the same thing?
No. Pennant would be like their division. Like if they get
I think we have won. God, it's been so long. It was like one of our first years. I think we did. We just make it to the World Series, or did we win?
I don't know.
I can't remember honestly. I know we've won a division though.
You guys have so many teams. Made it to the World Series. This is what happens when you have all of the sports teams. You just don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, who cares? All of our teams are awesome except for the. What's the basketball? Yeah, who are the basketball guys? The Nuggets. The Nuggets. What a dumb name, the Nuggets. I know it's for gold, right? You're getting gold in the Rockies. I get it, but come on.
Yep, 2007. So about the time that Doghouse Systems started, the Boston Red Sox played against the Colorado Rockies and beat us 4-0.
Oh, my.
Like 4-0.
Good Lord.
They just went through and said, all right, we're just going to go ahead and take all 4 games real quick.
Well done, guys. All right. Well, here's your question then, Daryl. How do you feel about it? Do you like baseball? Where are you at with the baseball?
Oh, I think it's the second most boring golf.
Oh, what? Oh, golf. Second most boring compared behind golf?
Yeah,
because how that came through is with lag was second behind Gorbolf. I had to translate it. All right, well, I like baseball, and I've mentioned this before, the Ken Burns documentary about baseball. I've watched that like 5 times. Keep in mind that thing's 18 hours long, plus the new additional ones they've done. It's awesome. If you like history at all, even if you don't like baseball, watch baseball. It's really good. The documentary, I mean.
Yeah.
Todd Helton is one of the most iconic Colorado Rockies players.
It's true.
Here's your question. Is it true? It's true, then.
It is totally true.
All right. Yep. There's truth in this. How many hits... I almost read tits. How many...
Good thing you didn't say that.
I really did. In my head, I thought that's what it said. How many hits did he have during his career? And I'll tell you, the range here is somewhere between 300 and 5,000. This is total hits in his career, hitting that ball with a bat in his career as a Rocky.
Oh man, poor Daryl. Okay. One of these days he's gonna win.
Yeah, he might.
It's not gonna be today.
Well, you never know. You never know. You could have some. I mean, I don't know what the chances are here. I'm not a good mathematician, but it's probably like 1,000,000 to 1 that you'll get this right by guessing. But
yeah,
let's give it a shot.
Well, it's
so I'm not going by.
It's 4,700 to 1 or 4,699 to 1 based on the range you gave him.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, Vegas man, with your odds. I see how it is. All right. So, Daryl, what do you say? What do you think?
Well, I can't go by any knowledge, so I'm just going to go by what do I think would be the starting point that you would make this range from. Mm-hmm. See, it's got to be 300. It's a really wide range, and it goes really high. So I'm going to say it's probably at the high middle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what would that be? 8,900.
Oh, that's higher than... What did
it's higher than the top range that Scott gave you.
Yeah,
oh, what? Oh, it's 7,000.
Okay. No, I gave you 4,000. I gave you 4,000.
I'd say lower if he went that high.
Yeah, I gave you 4,000 at the high, 300 at the low.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Let's rethink this. 2,900.
Is that your final answer?
I guess.
All right.
Jill!
Great. Here's your chance to find out. Brian, is that right?
2,900 is incorrect. Barry, is the correct answer higher or lower than 2,900?
No, man. I wish I knew baseball really well, but I know that a good average is 30% of hitting the, you know what? I'm just going to say it's going to be higher than 2,900.
Higher than 2,900. Let's find out if that is indeed correct. As I check in with the judges, here they are. Is it higher than that? Oh, it's not.
No.
Oh, the correct. Sorry, Barry, you're out. The correct answer to this is 2,519. So barely lower. See, I'm telling you, you're getting closer, dude. I don't know how you're doing this, but
yeah, it was very.
I don't either.
Two wrong ones in a row. Well done. I like this. It's a good challenge. We were winning. Too many people were winning. Although Brian's probably like, oh, I got to keep this stuff for another day.
Shit. No, that's all right. Yeah. I know. It's funny. I'm gonna put it back over on top of the box, but that means we add two more prizes to it on Tuesday. So this thing is gonna. It's gonna go big. It's gonna be a big prize box.
It's bulging.
By the time we give it away.
Yeah, it's a bulbous prize package at this point.
It is a bulbous, throbbing, heaping, overstuffed prize package.
Engorged prize package.
Oozing out the edges.
But we feel bad. Sorry,
Barry,
for losing. We'll have you on some other time. We always like Barry. It's always good to see Barry. All right, let's do this now. We don't have food, right? No.
No,
we got some stuff coming. We got some Hawaiian stuff coming, by the way.
Oh, cool. And unless you want to eat some more Tim Tams, I still have however many there is in this container, minus one.
I think we're good. But although you should keep eating them. It's fine. You should just eat all of them, Brian.
Yeah, I should. I should not.
In one sitting. Just down them all.
I'd like to fit in my game show suit for Frog Pants All-Stars in a month and a half.
Did you buy? You said you were going to buy something special. Did you do it? Some kind of weird.
Did.
Oh, you did? I can't wait to see. Yeah. Is it just like one of those big sumo suits? Is it one of those?
That's what I'm going to be doing. You know, at least with one of those, if I bend over, I probably won't split my pants.
Nope.
So that's good.
Nope.
That's a plus.
Man, we'll just see your wrestler bum hole. Hey, Daryl, what's going on there? Let's get you out of here. You're the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You're also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Oh, no, you're not on that anymore. Never mind. That's not a show he's on. Forget scratch that from the record. The jury will disregard the final statements that Scott just made. Daryl will now play a game with us, and he'll call it what? What is it?
I am going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
Great.
World record for lowest blank.
World record.
World record.
For lowest blank? Lowest, mm-hmm. Lowest blank. Lowest blank. What would you try for the lowest?
Like golf score.
Limbo. Lowest limbo score. Or something like that.
World record for lowest. Lowest voice.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm going to say somebody's talking, speaking in a very low voice.
I win the record.
That's pretty good.
Daryl, how'd we do?
Yes. The number one query result is... Limbo.
It is Limbo.
Oh, it is Limbo. No way.
Nice job, Scott.
Ah, that's awesome. All right. I never win these. So I'll celebrate by playing an extended version of Brian burping. Here you go. Ready? There you go. Right. There's more to that. I'll explain that later. Daryl, thanks for hanging out with us. Have a good day. Ga, ga, ga. And now time for the news. It's the news brought to you by
Pinball is awesome at Buffalo Pinball. We love it so much that we stream real pinball machines 5 days a week on Twitch. Tune into our partner channel at twitch.tv/Buffalo Pinball for the gameplay strategies and skills to help you master these amazing and intricate machines. Follow twitch.tv/Buffalo Pinball today.
Buffalo Pinball. Something in the arcade. All right, I got a story about Loch Ness Monster. We haven't had one of those, and it feels like long time.
I thought this got debunked, but okay.
Well, you'd think, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to still stick with my theory that it's Never been true, not even once, but here's the latest. Loch Ness Monster has been missing with no sightings in 8 months. That's how they tell if they need to worry about him, because right, no one's seen him for that long. Gary Campbell, heir to the Campbell soup fortune and keeper of the official Loch Ness Monster sightings register. I made up the soup part.
One of these things is true.
Well, one of them is true and the other might be a little fishy, but yes, you're right. It's true. He admitted that he was worried by the lack of sightings, adding this: last year was a record year with 8 sightings, but then she seemed to have disappeared. She being locked. How do they know what the sex of the thing is if they've never captured it?
You know what? It's funny. It just because it was Loch Ness and they started calling it Nessie for short, I think that that's how it evolved into being a she.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's fine. I just wondered if they maybe had some other evidence, but I'm guessing in an evidence-free story like Loch Ness, probably not.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It says here, Nessie usually appears in the summertime, although it is unheard of for her to be spotted during the winter months, or it isn't unheard of, rather. And despite the high number of Nessie sightings in 2016, the best year since 2000. So dumb. The last recorded sighting of Scotland's most famous resident was on August 21st last year. And in September, a whiskey warehouse worker snapped snapped what appeared to be the most convincing images of Nessie. But friends of Ian Bremmer believe the 58-year-old took the photo of 3 seals on the loch. So let's see.
And as we know, that's her favorite food.
The devil will go up here.
Eating seals.
Oh, here it is. So,
There's the.
Let's see. I'm gonna put this up on the thing. Can you guys see that chat room? It's 3 seals.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy believed it's not. The guy thinks that's Loch Ness Monster there. But I think
that is, well, you know, that's great timing on that photo, but whoever took that picture had to see the seals playing there before.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I think he's full of shit.
Yeah,
he knows what's up.
Exactly.
He can pretend all he wants, but I know what's going on. All right, well, there's that story. How about this one? Hey, you used to bowl all the time. How come you don't bowl anymore, Brian?
Yeah, I don't know. Crazy neighbor and I have been talking about getting back into a league because it's been a blast. There's been a lot going on here, Scott.
Yeah, busy. Busy things going on.
It interfered with raid night for a while. And
Bowling, man. Bowling is...
I really do like bowling and wouldn't mind getting back into it.
I wouldn't mind either. You know what would be fun is top golf, but call it top bowling, and you roll your ball out into a big field of...
into a big field of holes?
Yeah. That'd be cool, don't you think? Or a bunch of pins that you could... Like...
I think, the real equivalent of top golf for bowling is like midnight or moonlight bowling, where they have the special colored pins.
Oh, yeah.
So it's way more important to hit those colored pins in the right way than it is to actually get... strikes and spares and stuff like that. I mean, you're still trying to get a strike with those colored pins up, but
every midnight bowling I've ever been to had like disco lights and loud music. Is that normal? That's the way you're
That's
supposed
normal.
To do it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And black lights, you know, with the glowing pins at the end.
Mm-hmm. I miss doing that. That's fun.
I do too. That was a blast.
I would do more of that.
Remember we did that, there was a Nerdtacular where we all got together at that bowling alley over on in South Jordan.
Yeah, right? Over in Sandy, South Jordan by the by the mall.
Gosh, back then, okay, so that was when Bill and Brett were doing video recording of everybody and interviewing everybody who came to it. It was like after a movie.
Yeah, it was 2010. It was Iron Man 2, and it was, you're right, it was in South Jordan or Sandy or somewhere. I can't remember which city, but it was, it's that, and they had midnight bowling there at midnight, but not when we played, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that. That was fun.
That was a blast.
That was a good time. Wish they had bowling at Snowbird. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
I know. They don't have a lane.
Cost $18 a game, but sure.
Yeah,
no,
I'm kidding. Still less than a bag of Doritos, turns out. Right. Well, anyway, the bowler has rolled the world's fastest perfect game, a perfect game being 300 points, and he did it in 86.9 seconds.
This is insane. This blows my mind, like how you could do this.
Yeah, I don't understand it exactly.
You've got to run.
Says he's a bowling alley employee near Syracuse, New York, old stomping grounds of Jerry. Rolled a perfect game in 86.9 seconds. It is believed to be the fastest anyone has ever achieved the feat. He did it by rolling 10 strikes in 10 lanes before running back to roll two more strikes in the first two lanes again, making for the perfect game of 300. Let's see. Sorry, I can't get Gerard Butler out of my head suddenly after I said 300.
300.
Those...
This is madness. I Sparta. Tonight we dine in the gift shop next to the shoes you can buy.
This arcade is shitty. Through it says, though the feat has not been recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records yet, it is believed to be the fastest in the world. Kjetil, whatever, age 23 is all he is. He was trying to break Pro Bowlers Tom Doherty's self-proclaimed record from 2015. It was not his first attempt. He's tried it a bunch of other times. It didn't work out. I don't know if there's video of this. Let's see.
It's got to be. It's got to be on this page. So, I mean, this is, it's not just bowling on, you know, 10 different lanes and then running back to the first two. Why not just continue? I guess they must not have 12 lanes at the bowling alley that he runs.
Right.
He has to go back to the first two. But there's no way his ball would come back for those. So he had to be using a different ball for each one of those.
Each one of those, and then probably have a spare ready there in case they hadn't rolled up again by the time he got to those first two lanes again. Like, probably it had backups.
That is insane. That is really, really impressive.
I need Flash to watch this video. No.
Brian Merica just posted a YouTube version in the chat room.
Let's do that instead. Yeah, let's do that one. Thank you for that. Let's click that link. Okay. Here we go.
Good.
All right. Oh, this is going to be great. We're going to see the whole thing.
Yep.
All right. So he starts with number one. Bowl.
First one. Before that one even, he's grabbing another ball and going to the next one.
This is great. Oh, he's really taking his time here.
He is. He actually like lines up for each one.
He doesn't even look at it. I guess you couldn't.
No.
I guess you couldn't look
you
at it.
You wouldn't have time. Yeah, exactly. It's like his form is interesting.
Yes.
Like he kicks his leg up when he actually lets go of it, more than like the follow through. His arms go up and he.
It's like watching a donkey throw up or something. There's something weird about his form. Here we go. Form. Oh, Lord. The way he runs, too, is really cracking me up.
he kind of runs, yeah. There are only 10 lanes in this alley. Oh, okay. A nice curve on number 6.
Yeah, that
Jeez.
Was pretty good. Here's 7. Yeah. Oh, my. All right, 3 left. Right. I can't believe how mesmerizing this is.
It really
I'm feeling very tense, even though I know he's done it.
Right. But his running is really funny.
All right, second to last lane. Oh, gosh. Whoa, the curve on 9 was rough.
Yeah, that was really good.
That scared me. Okay, here's 10.
Come Do you on. Think? Could he, why is he going all the way to the first two? I mean, his ball's got to be out and back for, like, lanes 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And it's a shorter run.
Yeah, I don't get that. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yes.
Final one.
Come on.
By the way, spring leagues are forming.
Don't.
One time.
Oh my good Lord, dude.
That is
crazy.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
I think I'd have a friend there who goes and grabs the next ball and holds it for me at the place I need to stand and begin.
Yeah. I would too. I mean, I'm impressed with the physicality of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like that he's not thrown off by all the running and the lifting and the hucking.
Right.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, here's what would happen if I was doing it. I'd get a strike on the first one, maybe a strike on the second one, then I'd slip and fall and land on my ass because of the wax on the floor between number 2 and 3.
I always slip on the floor between number 2 and 3. another story here. A man had drank 13 beers during a half marathon he didn't train for.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, guy, making all of us regular healthy people look
it's
bad.
It's like the bowling equivalent of marathon here, too.
Yeah, kind of. It says, as he jumped into a half marathon on a whim.
A whim. Brian is a whim.
Will Wheaton. Wasn't a questionable enough decision already. Emmett Fairman. Farnan? Is that an M or an
Farnan.
A? Farnan. The R and the N always look like an M to me.
Yeah, it looks like a famine.
Emmett Fairman. A senior engineer student at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana found a way to make things even more difficult for himself. He decided to drink a beer each mile marker. Former high school cross country and track athlete. Well, that's why. This story sucks. It's not like just some fat guy who drinks a lot of beer. It's a guy who is like a former cross-country and track athlete. That's
well,
a big
it doesn't
deal.
Really say how he did, right?
No, it doesn't. Well, let's see. Completed the race. He says he completed an hour and 43 minutes, 42 seconds, running under 8-minute mile splits. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Captured the whole thing on GoPro. Has some not safe for language in it. Not safe for work language. There was no point where I thought I wouldn't finish, he says, despite deciding to run just the day before the race. I thought, you know, I'll do it, but I haven't been training properly, so how do I run without being worried about my time? The answer was beer. I think that's bad.
Coors Lights, I love it.
Isn't alcohol bad for, I mean, it dehydrates you, not the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. And not to mention, I mean, you know, slows your reflexes and...
Yeah. I don't see how this is good for you, but whatever. Good luck. Anyone else who thinks this is a good idea? Because it seems like a bad one. Final story today. A Florida man worried about zombies broke into a home. That's not the best part, though.
Great.
One of the things he stole was a pink selfie stick while he was at that house. Man said,
well, so you got to use those, you know, go for the head with a pink selfie stick. If you learn anything from Rick and Daryl, it's that a selfie stick and cardio are the two things you need to keep up.
If I've learned anything from Daryl, it's that one crossbow and two arrows will last you seven seasons.
You just got to keep pulling those arrows out of the last guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen any of this season past the premiere. Should I stick with it? Should I watch it?
Okay. Yeah, it's very good.
All right. I don't know why I gave up after the first one. It's not that I gave up. I just was like, okay, I'll catch up whenever. I'll get to it is kind of my attitude. Anyway, Florida man said he was really worried about zombies and didn't want to stay outside where the zombies can get you. He broke into a Deltona home. I assume that's Deltona, not Daytona. They just didn't spell it wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, there's a Deltona.
Is there a Deltona? Have you been to the Deltona Gazette or some kind of paper like that?
I don't think I have, but I know that there's a... I remember the city. I also used to work on maps for all these papers, too, so I remember, like, all the different counties and things.
Sounds like a pain in the ass.
It kind of was, yeah.
Stole some belongings. The victim woke up around 3 a.m. Thursday and the sound of someone rummaging through dresser drawers and saw Patrick Ray, age 31, standing in his living room. The arrest report said Ray walked out of the home when he saw the victim. That's good. Victim said he noticed his shorts, wallet, and house keys were missing. He woke up his son, and then Ray returned to the home minutes later, telling the victim about zombies trying to get him, and he felt uncomfortable outside. The victims blocked Ray from leaving until deputies arrived. One of the items stolen was a pink selfie stick.
Nice.
Yeah. Finally, somebody.
It is right about halfway between Orlando and Daytona Beach.
Yeah, all right. So Daytona and Deltona are neighbors.
They are neighbors.
Okay.
Yep.
That's confusing and dumb.
Yeah.
Let's take a bit of a break. When we come back, Wendy's here. Now don't worry, everybody. Last week was a little heavy on the Wendy segment. It was about a pretty dark subject. We had our fun with it, but as much as you can have with a subject like that.
Yeah.
So this week it's not quite so much that. It's a little more standard, and I think a lot of people can relate to it. So come back for that here in a minute. Before that though, music brought to you by Brian Ibbett.
That's right. And going out to John Budnick, who requested this, says these guys are a local band that started on the streets of Waikiki in Hawaii. And I recently saw them live here in Maui, and they're incredible. I've gotten permission to play their song for the Indie in the Middle When You Can, and forwarded me the email, as well as their tour dates, basic info, where to find them, etc. The band is Streetlight Cadence. These guys are awesome. This is their song, Rooftops. Going out to John for suggesting this. Great suggestion, John. Here is Streetlight Cadence.
I thought no one would ever love me. I figured I would be alone. I hid where you could never find me. I planned to make it on my own. I thought the world would go on spinning if I never showed my face. But then you caught me in a corner. I felt so out of place. And then the world stopped when I saw you. I was speechless for a minute, maybe two. Then my heart dropped. So what else could I do but shout it from the sidewalk? Shout it from the rooftops. with heartbreak. I tried to never love at all. I thought no one would ever want me. I figured chances were so small. And then the world stopped when I saw you. I was speechless for a minute, maybe two. Then my heart dropped. So what else could I do but shout it from the sidewalks, shout it from the streets, shout it from the rooftops. I'm in love, could it be? Shout it from the west coast, shout it to the east, shout it out, I'm in love, and she loves me.
We're going to crypto coin, goddammit!
The Morning Stream. No dicks here.
Welcome back, everybody. We're back. That was great. I enjoyed the hell out of that. I'm noticing a very 80s vibe to recent indie bands.
Oh my god, wait till you hear... TMSPM or whenever we do the next episode.
Yeah.
Wait till you hear this band. Just as a tease, their influences are Toto and Survivor.
Oh my. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You've got me. You had me at Toto.
You will be
Toto.
Blown away when you hear that this band's music came out in 2016. But, okay. But that's on the next episode of TMS.
All right. Whenever that will be.
That's right. Could so be... big thanks to Streetlight Cadence. Rooftops is the song, came out on their album Beyond Paradise last year, and great tune. So
nice.
Yeah,
excellent.
So check them out.
All right, let's give Wendy a call.
Let's class up the joint a little bit here, huh?
Yeah, let's improve the general smell around here with a little bit of Stoner Wendy. She's gonna, I need to get her opinion on those stoner clips I sent her. They're pretty funny.
Oh my god, yeah.
For those who missed it yesterday, I'm see if I have them handy here.
Let's double the IQ of the show in one phone call.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bleh.
No,
and
wrong.
I'm like,
well, that's the wrong one. Hold on, I can't find it. Oh, this one.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hey, good.
Hey, good. You sound
hello there.
Hello there. Hey, you sound a little stoned right here.
Like, what would be the difference? Seriously, who did that? Because let me say this.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, the internet does yeah. things and you're like, people are horrid.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people do stuff like that and I think, oh my gosh, the internet is a genius.
Oh, that's the greatest place ever. Sometimes it's the greatest place ever. I mean, you know, you get things like this.
I could not stop laughing. I have played it to like 10 people and they're like, what? You don't think this is funny, and eventually they think it's funny.
I'm pretty sure his name is Andrew. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure his name is Andrew. Anyway, somebody made
so
those,
funny.
And it's so like you'd never. I would have never. We've done this before. Like we were making fun of Trump a year ago, where his voice was slow and he sounds like a total stoner. And I just never thought of it again. Like Brian and I did some of us, and we were like, "Ha ha, that's great." And then later, who was it? Jimmy Kimmel starts doing it on a show, and we're like, "We did it first." Yeah, we thought we were first on that. And then
I never thought we were first. I know people were doing it. I mean, heck, the Jeff Goldblum thing.
Plugging
it in, and there's no step three.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of an old thing. But then somebody crops up a couple days ago with these Wendy ones. I'm like, what the crap? These are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially because, A, the date, and B, mm-hmm. I said those things. Like, mm-hmm. when you slow it down and listen to yourself, like, right. What am I doing?
Yeah. No, it's amazing. So, anyway, we'll have to keep those handy. Actually, I actually have a little extended one here I want to play for you, okay? Just one more. Nobody's heard this yet. Here you go.
And there was a heck of a lot of people sitting around doing a whole lot of drunkenness. No, I've heard that one, and it attached to the Middle Ages. And
oh, right.
Just the next Middle Ages, because that's my favorite part.
What's this
one? Like, what would be the difference?
Wait, where's the one? I don't know where I put it.
It's just right after drunkenness.
Oh, I can't find it.
Every great idea ever that's come out of anywhere.
It really does. There's something about keeping the pitch the same but slowing it down that makes anyone sound like they're stoned out of their mind.
Yeah, it reminds me of Drunk History. Do you ever watch those?
Yeah, I used to watch them on a YouTube channel, not so much since it hit Netflix or wherever it is now.
Oh, okay. It's so funny. Yeah. And
it's amazing. Anyway, so thanks
and
for your part.
From people who know stuff, not some dummy
who
thinks caffeine changed the world, so stop. Okay.
All right, well, all of that notwithstanding, we have an email today. Wendy's an actual therapist where at normal speed sounds totally like she knows what she's talking about. She's my sister. She comes on the show every Thursday. We talk about things to help people. They email us and they often have problems. Last week was a very heavy topic. This week, not so much, but still an important issue. So here it is. I will read this email. We'll say this person's name is N. And not reveal their real name. Wendy, Scott, and Brian, I'm trying to think of topics you haven't for a while talked about. I'm a bucket of psychological issues, and I'm sure I have something.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
It's a grab bag.
Yeah, it's like a buffet here. Not being able to handle constructive criticism. This is the one we're going to go with. I'm not able to take criticism from people, especially my wife. If I'm loading the dishwasher and she says, that bowl gets clean better if they face the door... Oh, if I had a dollar for every time someone said that to me. Anyway, I can't help but take offense to that. I know it's not something I should do, but I do. Taking offense, not putting the bowl where it should go. Anyway, right. I'm a perfectionist. I know that it depends on where the bowl is on the shelf to depend if it faces the front or the back, but that's neither here nor there. The problem is I don't handle it. I work in IT, and if people complain about a system I set up or some code I wrote, I get upset too, thinking my code isn't bad. Maybe you're using it wrong. I'm adding some inflection here. He says, I know that's a bad thing. How can I take criticism? And he says some other info. I'm 37. We have two kids under age 4. I have worked 20 years professionally in the IT industry. He says it's probably the base of his issues.
I love that. That's probably...
Probably the base
related,
of my issues. Yeah, it's pretty good. Perfectionist.
He already answered it. We're good.
He says he's a perfectionist. Says he has anger management issues. Moved out of my own when I was just 14.
Wow.
Bought my first house when I was 24 for an American success factor. I don't know what that means. Maybe he just means that was like his goal because he thought.
I'm wondering if that's like a reality show that we don't know about.
American success factor. Yeah, exactly. On this episode, dude buys a house. Anyway, have to be best at what I do. It's not what Wolverine does. I don't know what that means. Anyway.
In other words, Wolverine is the best at what he does.
Oh.
And what he does isn't nice.
Right. I forgot about that line.
But what he does is not IT.
Yeah, he does not do IT. He did not move out when he was 14. What else do you need? Cheers, N. All right. So where do you go with this one? Everyone can relate a little to...
Oh, my God. Totally.
Criticism, not taking it well, that sort of stuff. I get that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can tell you. So here's the only thing I'd say, and you can tell me if I'm totally wrong. But I have found if I'm not taking criticism well, the best thing I've ever been able to do with that is try to notice when I'm not. Because if I can notice that I'm putting on layers of extra resentment, or even just in a simple Twitter conversation about something, if I notice it, it's much easier for me to get to the end of it, even if the dust needs to settle a little bit, and then apologize or come back with, yeah, I got a little overbearing there, or you're right, I should have, blah, blah, blah. Even if you have to kind of have your moment, you can come back to it later, if you at least notice that you're doing it. That sounds weird, because it wouldn't be a problem if you were noticing it, some might say, but I think that's part of that, for me anyway. You need to notice it.
Ninja Steve in the chat room actually comes up with the answer to all of N's issues. He just needs to turn it off and then turn it back on again.
Oh, there you go. Fine. Perfect. Nailed it.
The Norwegian restart.
That's right.
That's right.
Sorry, that's Norwegians.
I love a little shade thrown on the Norwegians. It's fine. Anyway,
they live in the most beautiful place. They can handle this.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They may be defensive right now, actually. We'll try this.
Probably. Anyway, so what do you say? What do you do?
Okay, well, let's start, first of all, let's back up. Okay, IT, you guys may have to speak to this. My interaction with IT is so limited in my life. They're just like a nice guy who's good with computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
in my brain. So I assume it's just like a customer service nightmare, even when you're internal to a company, right? Like, just like a bunch of grandmas, like, how do I tweet? You know, like, no one knows what they're doing.
Yeah, because you're dealing with, even if he's not front facing with customers directly, it's almost worse because you're dealing with other people with egos within a company who, you know, like a CEO even, who's like, my damned computer won't turn on.
I can't get my drink holder to stay out.
Yeah.
Out of the front of the computer.
Yeah. And like, you have to go and explain this to them and they get defensive and then you get defensive. Like, I can totally see where this guy's coming from, especially 20 years of that. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, I think we found the sort of kernel of where it is for him. I mean, I think I'm just channeling just the emotions of trying to get mom to receive some money from me through PayPal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I sent a test amount. She sent a bill to me for the same amount. I'm like, what? How did this just happen? And all I thought was, it is not worth explaining this to you. So either find yourself a young neighbor to help you, or I will just, I don't know. How do you give money to someone these days that's not online? I don't know. Anyway, it was like, I can't even go there. Right. So yeah. I can't imagine. That's one interaction with one person. Think of that 20 years.
Okay. Now I'm nervous because I sent mom money for the same reason, because I know what you're doing. I sent that the other day for our part and I haven't heard anything back. Should I worry? What's going on over there?
She figured it out. So I've sent her now everything. She's like, this is amazing. So somebody helped them.
She says, this is amazing. That's amazing. All right. Anyway, I love that. All right. Keep going. Yeah. Sorry.
So it works out. But I can't imagine. Oh, the humanity he's experienced over 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do when you're experiencing various levels of sort of, okay, people acting defensively because they need your help, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like the CEO, you got an ego on the line who doesn't know how something kind of fairly simple works. If you come in and act like at all he's an idiot, then he's going to respond, and he probably is going to respond with defensiveness anyway, right? So it's like a defensiveness party happening. So you're having a lot of interactions where this is being activated and you're practicing it. Okay, so he has this with his family too, right? Am I remembering that right, Nina?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it kind of goes everywhere. So first of all, you got to ask yourself, what are you defending? So we're going to talk really briefly about a systems theory, which is kind of fun. Called character adaption systems theory.
Okay.
And it's about the idea that people have five systems of psychological adaption. And adaption's a good thing, right? It's how we survive. It's what keeps us safe. It's how we manage the fact that the world's terrifying, but we keep going to work every day. You know, like there's a lot of things that are beneficial to it. And some of these systems can get out of whack. So that's kind of anyway, one of them is the defensiveness system. And it essentially is kind of a nice line between Freud and some other folks where you're protecting your experience, your inner self,
yeah,
and then your experience of your private self. It's essentially the filter, right? Mm. So if you think about your consciousness, you have three things going on. You experience your experiential consciousness. It's sort of like, think of it like a theater, right?
Yeah.
You're experiencing stuff on the stage. Then you've got the private self or the narrator, the two guys up in the balcony making comments. and that's, I always talk to people about that. That's like, they may be doing something really stupid, but there's a voice in their head saying, oh my gosh, stop. No, you know, that's not good for you or whatever.
Yeah.
That voice of reason, or, you know, we have lots of terms for it, is actually the private self and the narrator of what's happening on stage. And then the public self, which is the image you're attempting to convey to everyone when you are doing anything publicly, right? So we've got those three things happening at once. And sometimes there's conflict, or, well, there's filters between each of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's think of an example, the dish one.
Okay. Oh, I love this one. This one's great. I love dishwasher arguments. They're,
well,
the
actually,
best.
Let's make it more about, it needs to be about a kid, not the dishes. So let's take that you were hard on Nick.
Yeah. What if you wash your children who are under four in the dishwasher? Can we make a scenario out of that?
Just fine.
Just face them just towards the door.
Turn the heat
off. They won't get clean.
Yeah, put Jimmy closest to the door, or his pits are going to reek. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, so Nick, we're having a disagreement with Nick.
You're just it's a little critical of him,
okay,
or something.
All right.
And Kim comes to you later and just says, you know, you're a little rough on him. Maybe you could have blah blah blah.
You weren't. You don't have. There's no camera in my house, and you're not watching me yesterday, were you? Because
no. Okay. I saw the whole video, and it's in slow motion, so you all seem stunned.
Because this exact thing happened yesterday. But anyway, okay. So with the scenario so far, I'm with you.
So she's essentially telling you you've hurt Nick's feelings,
mm-hmm,
by what you said and how you said it, and you are instantly defending yourself. So maybe you said, that's not what I said, and your explanation is ultimately,
yep,
that's not what I meant.
It's exactly, right? What played out. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Really quick, Brian, have you ever been through this, or is this just Scott is a
no,
terrible
I'm sure
person?
I have. Totally have.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're okay.
Feels pretty common.
Yeah, exactly. Where
it is
where
really common.
Yeah. One of us overparents, and the other one is like, I think you need to ease up on Tristan. So yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's bring
totally
it happened. Back.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Swing it back a little bit.
Okay, so then you're defensive. So then now the other person, Kim in this story, has to be like, okay, no, actually it really, well, he heard it this way and it, you know, really hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
And you now need to do something because the filter is getting chunks in it. Oh my gosh. I'm afraid now they're going to take everything I say and throw it down.
Anything sounds better when you're drunk.
Everything better stoned.
Slow down.
Okay, so the filter gets activated and it's the, you know, the narrator and how I look publicly and what's actually happening are all having a little fight. And it's like, wait, my intention means I'm still a good person. But you're telling me I hurt my kid. I'm a good father. I don't hurt my kid.
Yeah.
So all sorts of stuff is happening in this one moment that then brings out the, I'm either going to double down and pull out my guns, mm-hmm, and keep defending myself, or I'm going to say, oh, that's how they experienced it. Wow, that wasn't my intent. I need to apologize.
Yeah.
Right? So you kind of can go two ways, and the filter sort of plays a role in that. And then usually what happens though, if you're in defensive mode at all, you don't see the truth in the thing the person is saying. Maybe it's not all true.
Right.
But you can't see that, oh yeah, that's, you know, maybe that kind of thing happened. So it's important to understand some of your investments that create this. So for example, you're a good father. So when Kim tells you you did something negative and it hurt Nick, it's triggering the, I'm a good father, but I'm telling you, you're not right now.
Yeah.
So yeah. I gotta protect my investments.
It's like tempering the criticism with, you know, with an explanation that makes it not seem as harsh.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is makes sense when you think about what you are ultimately protecting. You're protecting your, I mean, we talked about cognitive dissonance that one week, and this is exactly what occurs. Mm-hmm. Is you're a good father, new information is presented to show that you weren't a good father yesterday. And how do I sort of distill that down into cohesive, I am what I am.
Yeah.
So I got to defend myself. I am a good father. It's Nick's fault. Stupid kid. Right.
Yeah. No, it's funny. Even you this. Saying this out loud, like it's funny how this, I'm 100% on board with what you're saying, because even though that whole thing got resolved, just spoilers here, how this thing worked out. She talked to me in this very, very way, saying, yeah, but you got to understand this and that in school and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I know, but man, you know, I'm coming up with all my excuses. And then it kind of hits me later. I'm like, ugh, she's right. That was over the top. So I went in there and I talked to him and I apologized and I hugged him and told him I loved him and put him to bed. I mean, he's 16. I didn't put him to bed like a baby, but he was going to bed.
You did.
It was nighttime. So it all worked out in the end. But even you talking about it now, despite the fact that we resolved it, just talking about it, saying, well, you weren't a very good father yesterday, there's a weird little sting to it, even though you're not even saying that. You're just saying, here's a fake scenario that we're making up. But there's still, so that whatever that is in us, that instinct is just a raw little thing just waiting to get tweaked.
Right. And here's the thing. A good father makes a mistake and then apologizes, and because that's real relationships.
Yeah.
And there's a million people listening going, I'm sure there's a million people listening. There are a million people listening thinking.
Yes.
Hey, what are you trying to say? I'm getting all defensive now. Anyway.
This is my father. Like, they're hearing their dad in this story. He never apologized. He didn't tell me he loved me. He didn't come and fix it. He just stayed mad. Yeah. And this explains why. There is a defensiveness that is built in around. Defensiveness is the response to their sort of state of equilibrium being threatened, right? Mm-hmm. So justification system is all about equilibrium. If you're out of equilibrium, someone kind of pushes you left or right, then you've got to justify whatever that is to get back to that state of being in equilibrium.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who don't have a lot of skills or emotional sort of wherewithal, or the voice, the narrator isn't loud enough that says, you got to think about that and maybe say sorry. So then a lot of years of this kind of dynamic can build up, and you have walls between people and kids who don't understand their parents. And it can be really tricky, but it comes from this place that they're not just jerks, or they're not just, you know, whatever. Their system is threatened. And that sounds so odd when you really think about that. So I'm wondering about this guy. What is it? I mean, you can see where this would get triggered constantly. But are there, I don't know, raise your hand, people in IT, are you not defensive? Or is, I can see how this, you know, certain professions are going to lead you towards certain things, but is there an IT guy that's not?
It totally comes with the territory. I mean, if you're a good IT person, and I managed a support department for years at that company that, that the video for me is floating around with, but, if you're a good support person, if you're a good IT person, then you are the company when you're talking to the customers. So when the customer says, I don't like the way this works, or this is your software sucks because it's not doing what I want it to do, you take it personally because you are the company to them. And so and it helps you solve their problem. It's for better or for worse, it makes you solve their problem faster and more, you know, more to their satisfaction. Then if it was like, oh yeah, man, this company does suck, man. The software blows. You're totally right, customer.
Part of the problem is too that if you're dealing with an internal sort of IT position, you've got people in quote unquote power within the company who think they're up to very important things. They think they're really important. They're the sales regional executive guy who doesn't know jack poo about computers. So when his computer breaks, it's everyone's fault but his. It's got nothing to do with the way he's using it. It must be something else. And so you're dealing with those personalities, and it's easy to get defensive about your well-run IT department and your personnel when some guy in a suit who couldn't send himself his own email if he tried is saying that everything's wrong with IT when it's just user error. I could see how this would, over that much time, foster all sorts of natural tendencies to get very defensive and dig in.
Right. And then, but let's go deeper. What is the core thing you're protecting or that you need equilibrium at, right? Like the good father thing might be the base of the other story.
Yeah.
In this case, I'm a competent professional, or maybe there's some old, my boss is the jock in high school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
You know, like there is a social power differential that is occurring there, and you're sort of getting treated like crap, and that triggers something else. I don't know. Just throwing guesses out there. But on a way to think about this might be helpful is to think of that internal process as a defense attorney.
Yeah.
The defense attorney is, I'm going to take, you know, here's this conflict. You know, I'm going to take my bias and my filters and use all of them to just use the information that gets me what I want.
Yeah.
And often that what you want is just to feel justifiable, you know, a state of equilibrium again, like, yeah, I am a good father. And we'll do kind of what it takes to get back to equilibrium. So, for example, time and maybe what Kim said got you to a state of like, I'm out of equilibrium. You were initially, but you didn't snap back because you had too much information you couldn't ignore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So then you, to get equilibrium, you say goodnight and you say you're sorry and you make it better. And you again reach, I'm a good father. Even though you're not consciously saying, I'm a good father, that state of being is the thing you are seeking. So here's the thing. I'm wondering if he ever gets equilibrium in a job that perpetually pushes you out of it, or could, or years of that. And then you just take it home. I mean, I can imagine that's a thing,
yeah,
right? Where you
yeah.
just, it's sort of everywhere and you're kind of defensive all the time. And we all know, folks, that it may be just more of a tendency. They're a little more on edge or sensitive about, you know, you can't really tease with them or there's, you know, something going on. But usually it's because you're hitting something.
Mm-hmm.
So the question would be, go deep into your psyche and find out what is the thing you're protecting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, the high school thing, you know, maybe go back into your younger years and think of the first time you had this experience where you just wanted to pummel someone because they were treating you in a certain way and you felt this way,
yeah,
right? Or,
yeah.
You know, you couldn't justify something you were accused of. You couldn't win the court case.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of powerlessness can be a pretty powerful motivator to prevent them from happening again. So it starts kind of somewhere. So it'd be interesting to explore, go a little backwards in time.
I'm sure that some of that's got to play a part in this, but it just has to be so amplified by this juxtaposition of sales and technical. Those two things never get along. They just don't.
Right.
Like sales
right.
wants to promise the world and technical has to deliver whatever bad promises you made. And
right.
and he's in that environment all the time. So if he's coming in already with a sort of underdog, sort of, you know, got treated badly in high school or whatever thing, and then add this on top of it, it's just the most compounding thing ever, probably.
Right.
So
there are some categories of when, you know, people are, when they're using this or kind of when they're doing it.
Yeah.
And I wrote it down, now I can't find it. Okay. They're pretty broad, so, you know. But, so people are typically defensive, or that filtration system sort of occurs around death and the ideas of death. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
kind of like what you think happens, or someone close to them. I don't really know how that works. I just have a list, so I haven't had time to really think about it. But death is one. Threats to one's worldview and meaning, and how you make meaning of things. That one is obvious. That's the cognitive dissonance thing. Mm-hmm. Information comes in. You're like, nah, it's not how I believe.
Yeah.
And so you've got to do stuff with that.
Yeah.
Threats to one's relationship with others. So that could be some of the workplace stuff, that it triggers power dynamics and, you know, move, you know, company within company kind of stuff that, you know, maybe unique to his situation, or, and even with families, right?
Oh yeah.
So threats to one's relationship with others, threats to self-esteem or self-concept. That one also seems pretty obvious. Like, yeah, the good father thing.
The other thing in IT you always see is like, if you know, stuffy guys in suits act like you're not important, but get my computer working. This is lame. I don't have time for this distraction. You always have this in your head of like, yeah, if we didn't do our job, this entire company would fall apart in a day.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have any of this stuff. The databases would all be dead. All this stuff would be breached. You wouldn't have the contact. Like everything about what they do is now fundamental to a business properly running. And it always feels like the guys, you know, the executives or people who in management don't understand that or don't appreciate
it. And also that you're replaceable, even though the stuff you do is so important. And in some ways you're irreplaceable. You maybe are felt to that you are replaceable because the money is up top and the decisions are up top. I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a therapist.
I think so. No. I think so. I mean, I think you've got the right take on it. It's like, I mean, you could think of almost any other, I mean, what's this like? It's probably like nurses and doctors a little bit. Orderlies and doctors.
It's like social workers in an ER. I'll tell you, that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff the kind of stuff they show that relationship in like shows like Scrubs and ER and these other shows, I always get the feeling there's a lot more truth in that than you might think, you know? Like there's this weird they're the people that come and deal with all the psychos and I don't have time for this. I just need to set his leg or whatever. Like I imagine that that's a weird thing, but that's probably just true everywhere. It's like, I don't know. Probably every job has some dynamic like this in it. This one's just really pronounced and very much a modern construct, you know, something that's relatively new to humanity.
Right, right. Like, you know, in the 80s, where was the IT guy there? You know, like...
Yeah. In very like, rare cases.
You got to keep the power on or whatever, right? So now it is just like you're nothing without
office managers.
Your app being mobile friendly, right?
Like, sure.
You're screwed.
Or you have a bug. There's a bug in the software. Oh, crap. Everything gets shut down because of this. And all the salespeople look bad. Marketing looks bad. And, you know, it's just it's much bigger, messier, bigger stakes kind of world we live in now. And as IT guys really take it, man, they really take the heat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then the last one is painful feelings or memories. It's where we also get our defensive stuff kicks in. And those painful feelings, it could be anything, right? And it's funny, you take two different people and you take something that may be mortifying to one and just threaten them to the core. Yeah. And for the other person, they could just laugh at it. And you're like, but they're the same thing. And it's because one is not painful to one, and the other is incredibly painful to the other. But all of this is driven by thoughts and beliefs. And so that's, you know, when he would go to see a therapist for this, it would be, hey, let's dig into the stories you tell yourself. And so think about the boss says, oh, my gosh, my email, it's the worst. And you're like, oh, this guy's such an idiot. I have to do this again. That feeling just came from the thought and feeling come together. But the thought is pretty powerful. Because if you thought, oh, the poor thing, what would he do without me? Right. You'd actually feel like, you know, he can't live without me. It's just a different feeling. And so some of it might be analyzing, you know, what you're thinking. So that system gets triggered and then look at what are my thoughts? What is the story I am telling myself about my life? I mean, he shared his story, how he sees himself, which is he's a bucket of psychological issues. So that's his story. And not to say that's not great self-awareness, but it also, you know, might be a part of the challenge, right? I don't know. So that's a thing to go down the road with for a lot of people is what are the stories you're telling yourself? And usually they come out of having this system sort of triggered and enacted. Total side note, really quick. What you guys would know this. There is a new comic book being released about the Flintstones.
Oh
really?
I did not know about that.
What? How am I the first one to say that?
Dark, edgy new take on the Flintstones?
Yeah. How are you in, I mean, if you're talking about a thing like recently there was a, you know, Archie Comics, the old happy thing. There was a, Well, there's actually a TV show now too that's a little dark, but they put out a limited run select issue thing where there were zombies and a whole bunch of people died. Like Jughead was one of the original infected, and it was like a horror novel, but it was all the characters from that. So is it that kind of thing where the Flintstones?
Okay, so it's the it's the DC Comics apparently.
Mm. Oh, look at this! Holy cow!
Mm. Okay, I just need everyone to bow before me. I have out-nerded you guys.
I'm amazed. How come has Major Spoilers not talked about this?
Yeah, Steven hasn't mentioned it as far as
you
I know.
You need to tweet that your sister's a genius. Go.
All right, okay. It's done.
All right, so what it is apparently, and I'm really interested. Have I ever been interested in comic books before,
Scott? Not my entire life.
But I'm really interested
life.
In this one.
Yeah.
And the reason is it's like, it's not like dark and like some gloomy version of the Flintstones. It's like analyzing it. So they released it as I guess they own it, right? DC owns.
Yeah, DC owns the. Well, it's a
Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, it's a Warner Brothers thing, and Warner Brothers owns DC. So. Yeah.
So they're apparently going to do it with various things, but they've released they've done it as it's just very realistic. So like, in the sense of, you know, the animals are like the vacuum's like an elephant,
right?
And
right.
Like the bowling ball is a thing.
Yeah.
Well, every night, you know, the bowling ball. You know, the elephant can be put back in the closet at the end of vacuuming and be lonely because he knows the bowling ball will come back and they can talk. And like it's like it realifies, and it's slavery. Like they see it as they have no rights. And and I'm not explaining it well because, of course, I haven't read it yet. I just heard about it. And it just seems really like a clever take on like the whole world of that instead of being just like, it's
it really is like, a dark, edgy take on the Flintstones. I'm looking at this right now, and I mean, they even have the Loyal Order of Water Buffaloes in here as well. Like, it's
they're all into it. And they're putting modern constructs. Like, here's Barney. It looks like a seashell, but it's his phone. So he's texting on a seashell, and Fred is playing on what looks like a video game controller made out of stone. So they're still playing with this idea of this is like a modern.
Next issue, animal appliances in revolt.
Right.
And so Fred is this big, huge guy, and he has to shop at Neanderthal and Big Men's clothing store, right?
Like, Neanderthal.
Well, and the other thing that both Fred, are vets from the war where they had to fight and clear the land to make bedrock. And so, you know, they've got some post-war trauma stuff they have to deal with. Like, it's like they've thought of everything, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Amazing. This is amazing.
Well, I am genuinely interested in checking this out. I didn't even know it existed. I knew they were rebooting Scooby-Doo in a very similar way. Like, they've got a very realistic take on Scooby-Doo coming out. So a lot of the Hanna-Barbera stuff's probably ripe for this weird modernizing or whatever, but that's fascinating.
So it made me think, as we talked about our discussion, like, you know, like the office politics of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's why The Office was so genius, is it tapped into. And I've still not seen the American version. I've only seen the British version.
Yeah.
And if you have that problem where you can't handle awkward. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it is so awkward. Oh, my gosh.
It is so awkward. I like to watch glimpses of the U.S. one because I don't think it's awkward at all.
Some of it is. They don't go nearly to the extent that the British office did for awkwardness, but it's there. It focuses much more on the whole Pam Jim thing, which in the other one was Tim and Dawn.
Dawn, right?
Yeah.
But yeah,
Brits have a different sensibility. I went to lunch with a British friend today, and we just had a fun laugh at Brits can say stuff. They can say stuff Americans can never say. I don't know what it is about them. I love them.
No, they're the best.
But anyway,
they're the best.
They are, but it's different. Anyway, so it's fun.
They really shouldn't be Brexiting, but other than that, they're great. We love those guys. All right. Well, I've learned two things today. One, you know, things are complicated. Defense mechanisms are a thing, and you can work on those. But also, Wendy knew about a comic book thing before I did. So that's two things today, which is a real rare treat.
A rare treat. Do you want to know my source?
As much as you can, Wendy.
Yeah. Wait, you have a source? What was your source?
My source for knowing this was actually the Slate Political Gab Fest that we talked about. I was moving in the political direction, and that's what happens.
Yeah. Sometimes. Well, I mean, you know, it's the season. All right. This is when everyone gets real political about everything. It's how it works. All right. Well, Wendy, it's always fun, always good. Next week, we'll do something new. We don't know what, but we'll get there. We got a lot of good stuff lined up. You mentioned a few in the email that sounded very interesting. Yeah. So we'll get around to those. Wendy Dunford on Instagram. And, of course, Therapy Thursdays with an S.com. Anything else? You good?
No.
All right.
Just go Flintstones. Yeah. What's the song? They got to up the song.
Yeah, they got to up the song. You should talk. You should sing that song.
Meet the Flintstones.
There is a Bruce Springsteen. I'm sorry, Bruce Springstone cover of that out there.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Nice. Wendy should sing it and then slow it down to stoner slow. That'd be cool.
Oh my gosh.
Can I
just say, Internet, good job.
Yeah, good job, Internet. Well done,
just
Andrew.
Just be nice like that all the time. Can everyone just do that?
Yeah.
Like, funny, nice?
Yeah.
Oh,
hey, we're
so
doing
great.
Our part every day, Monday through Thursday. That's what we're trying to do here. Right here on TMS.
Stay out of trouble. Making the Internet nicer, one show at a time.
One show at a time. Take it easy, Wendy. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. All right. Hey, Brian.
Yo, sir.
We're done.
No.
That's it. I got nothing special to do here at the end of the show. Just wanted to thank people. Patreon.com/TMS is a great place for you to show your thanks. If you like our content and enjoy it, head on over there and support us. We really appreciate it. We are primarily a supported show by you, the listener. And without you, there is no show. And I mean that literally. If you like it, consider it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have...
Throw a buck our way every month. Come on.
Yeah.
Cheap. It's nothing.
We don't have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation like NPR or whoever has. They have a lot of listener-supported stuff, but we don't have all that other stuff. You know, we just don't get it. So,
and you know, if you do that, and you feel like, oh man, they really ticked me off, then you can withdraw your buck later on. You know, when we finally get around to offending your nationality or religion or belief. Then you can pull your buck a month. But until then, throw us a buck a month.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/TMS. Easy peasy.
Yeah. Don't send us any dong, though. We don't like dong. Just kidding.
I'm fine with dong.
Sorry, Vietnam. Yeah, Brian's fine with dong.
I'm fine with getting the monetary...
Brian's fine with getting dong, is what he's saying. I know what he's saying.
I hope he knows. I swarmed that even before you had a chance.
You did. Well done. I marked it anyway. Hey, all right. Well, let's get out of here then. Big thanks to everybody. Frogpants.com/TMS. Links to everything that you need from us. If you got any questions, let us know. Send us your emails. All that stuff would be great. I'll let you know on Twitter today what's happening with PM. Like I said, as soon as I hang up here, I got to start prepping for DTNS. With Tom's absence, he has asked me to put on the mantle of responsibility today. And I offered to do it. So what that means is I just don't know. So we'll let you know, okay? We'll be flexible on this point today until we know what's going on. In the meantime, let's have music.
Okay. This one goes out to Samantha from the UK. She says, hey, Scott and Brian, at the beginning of February, I placed a request for my husband, and Brian selflessly gave up a song he had for his wife to play mine. Aww. Not just did it mean a lot to my better half, but it meant a lot to me. So I want Brian to play something for his better half. She keeps calling for that. as he missed his chance last time. Huge hugs from the UK, Samantha Whiting.
Nice.
Aw, you're so nice.
That's really sweet. Yeah.
So I'm doing that. I'm doing exactly that. Tina's favorite songs include Somewhere Over the Rainbow. She loves the Israel Kamakaviva Ole version of that, the Hawaiian version. She likes Our House by Madness. Not a lot of great covers of that one. But probably her most favorite song out there is Tainted Love by Soft Cell, which in and of itself is a cover originally done by Gloria Jones, the woman who was driving the car when it got in an accident and killed T-Rex, the singer T-Rex.
Oh, right.
Tribute for you.
Yeah.
She loves Tainted Love, and I think I've played the Marilyn Manson version on here before. If I haven't, it's easy to find. It's a pretty common one. I'm not going to play that one today. I am going to play, well, there goes the doorbell, the version, and there go the dogs, the version that came out about 6 years ago on an album by the Scorpions. Yes, Rock You Like a Hurricane, German, learn in the language, Scorpions. They released an album called Come Black, which I don't know. really got nothing to say about
nothing
that.
To add there.
Maybe, yeah. maybe that's one of the times you should have stuck to the traditional Under the Covers album title. But the Scorpions in their 2011 album Come Black, they do this cover of Tainted Love. Here are the Scorpions.
All right, here it is. We'll be back when sometime. Certainly Monday, but maybe a little later today. We don't know. We'll let you know.
No.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.